Tom Woods Show, episode 1722.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Very glad to be joined today by Mark Ling, all the way from New Zealand. Over the course of 2020, we have observed phenomena that we never probably thought we would see in terms of government mandates and shutdowns. And it's been very, very challenging for business in particular. Some businesses can't open at all. Some can open only partially. We don't have very good metrics or timetables for knowing what's happening when and who can do what. And it's just been a horror for a lot of people, particularly people who do run businesses. And naturally, the question you want to ask is, well, how do I protect against this? What can I do so that I'm prepared if this should ever happen again? And I want to talk to Mark because, for one thing, I've promoted Rocket Languages, the company that sells foreign language study courses that my daughter owns the Japanese course from. I've been promoting them for years on the Tom Woods Show and/or in my newsletter. And then I found out that was Mark Ling's company. So that's the kind of company he creates, is Rocket Languages, for example. It's digital courses. So he doesn't have to be at a factory. He doesn't have to be in an office. He can run that entire company right from his computer. That's the kind of product he creates so that he can just do it from wherever. And he's had amazing success with Rocket Languages. And it's a great product, as those of you who have bought courses from it know. But he's in not just language learning, but he's in a lot of niches like dog training and health and niches like that. And everything he does is something that he can just do from his computer from anywhere in the world. And he's extremely successful at it. He's created a lot of products and he's promoted a lot of other people's things as an affiliate. And he does it from anywhere he wants. So it's unshutdownable. And he really is one of the best. I have gone up against him in sales contests. I'll get to this in a minute. And I can't even touch this guy. And I've got every tactic and skill in the book when it comes to that stuff, and I cannot touch this guy. He is definitely doing something right. So it's a pretty good time to talk to him, given that he's doing the very thing that a lot of people secretly wish they'd been doing, because what he's doing is unshutdownable. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you. It's funny, I had known you for maybe a year, year and a half, before I realized that Rocket Languages, which I'd been promoting for a long time, was co-founded by you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's one of the things that you were doing. And it's funny, actually, I discovered it actually because you and I were on a webinar together and you were going through ClickBank showing people all the different products that were yours. And one of them was Rocket Languages. I said, wait, what? Wait a minute. So it turns out, because my daughter, Regina, bought the Japanese language program and you told me that if you had known, you would have given us that for free. And I like to make my way in the world, so we're happy to have paid. But it just goes to show the Mark Ling empire is so significant that I didn't even know I was in it.
So, yeah, a lot. I mean, probably going off topic already, but a lot went into that program too, that it ended up at one stage getting number one ranking in PC World magazine. It's in over 50,000 libraries around the world. It's it's really taken off significantly. And that's just one of many online businesses I'm doing.
Yeah, that's just incredible. Now, let's start right from the beginning. I saw an interview with you some time ago within the past couple of years, and doggone it, I tried to track that thing down in preparation for today, and I could not find it. But what I do remember from it was how surprised I was at how open you were about, you know, some struggles you'd had in your personal life when you were younger, that life was not easy for you. And I was very surprised that you talked about that. But so I don't necessarily want to dwell on bad news, but you do have rather an impressive story. I mean, right now you're ridiculously successful. I mean, I've seen you at least 2 years in a row in a sales contest you and I were both in. I've seen you win the overall contest, the last 48-hour contest, and the leads contest for a total of $120,000 in prizes alone, not including commissions. You're doing pretty well, Mark Ling. So it is interesting to know that nothing was handed to you.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was 6 years old, my parents separated, and that's not, that's not exactly unusual, but what we didn't know at the time was my mum had schizophrenia. So it took a long time to really figure that out. People just thought she was going a bit, you know, nutty and stuff, but didn't quite know what was going on. So I ended up spending the next 7 years from being 6 to 13 living in a cold two-bedroom, very small sort of apartment style. It was kind of a house, but had a very tiny backyard with writing on all over the walls and stuff like that. Kind of like the movie A Beautiful Mind. Like there was, she would just like write all these random characters and letters and just stick them up all over the walls and stuff. And it was kind of hard to learn social skills or anything like that under that kind of an environment. You know, I had my troubles in school and stuff like that with friendships and all of that at first. But I must say a lot of stuff turned around in high school when a friend of my father's introduced me to basically to the concept of mind power, where I ended up learning how to reprogram the way I think and the way I see the world. And I ended up sort of becoming a self-made person right from the ground up with regards to my attitude, personal development. I mean, I became a completely different person because he could recognize that, you know, you just can't live life without that sort of fundamental positive attitude. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh man, you're an optimistic person. You're this, you're that. And I'm like, yeah, I programmed that into myself when I decided to take power and choose my own thoughts and decide what kind of person I wanted to be.
And eventually I think you did wound up getting out of that household.
Yeah. When I was 13, I got pulled aside by a counselor at school because my mum started coming to school thinking that she worked there. And they said, something's not right with your mum. And we've told your father about this and he wants you to move in with him. And I said, wow, my mum always said that dad didn't want to have me. But then it suddenly dawned on me. She just said that because she didn't want me to leave the house. So I ended up moving in with him. So that definitely was a big help in of itself to be in a better environment. But then when I was 16 years old, that's when I started to get into the mindset reprogramming and stuff like that. And it started off with things like, because I went through a couple of different programs that a friend of my father's gave me. He was a real estate millionaire, and there was stuff like affirmations, like I would spend 5 minutes a day saying every day in every way I'm getting better, better, and better. That I would do that for 90 days, and then the next 90 days it would be, I'm supremely self-confident and I love taking risks. And I would say that every day for 90 days. And these are affirmations that were either ones that were in the program or ones that I made up. That second one was one that I made up. And I would think about, what do I want to believe in myself? What do I want to believe that's going to help in either my social life or my financial life or in sports or whatever? I just pick something. And it's kind of like putting a drop of red dye into a bucket of water. Sooner or later, that bucket turns red. And I think about 60 to 90 days of any affirmation, you can brainwash yourself into becoming the person you want to become, because otherwise there's all these repetitive thoughts going on in your head that were put in there from when you were a child. And not many of them are not true. They're just, you know, they're just little glass ceilings that are put on you. So eventually, you know, I would say things like, I'm the kind of person who finds it easy to make money. I'd say that every day for 5 minutes for 90 days, you know, stuff like that. Lo and behold, by the time I was 20, I was running an online business, making thousands of dollars a week because I was confident enough to really go hard if I saw an opportunity, because I knew that sooner or later, the right one was going to come along. I tried some stuff that didn't work, like horse racing schemes and, you know, stuffing envelopes and, you know, all sorts of stuff. It didn't work. But I think mindset definitely played a huge part. And it wasn't that I was born with this mindset. It was that I took it on myself, I guess, to make sure that I surrounded myself with books and stuff like that from the right influences and decided, no, I want to think like that person. So what's the simple statement that I can make that encompasses that? And then I would just burn it into my brain.
Jeez, you know, I feel really chastened in a good way by this, because I have sometimes made fun of or ridiculed mindset courses and stuff because I always thought it was a lot of fluff that didn't do anybody any good. But I take that all back. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it's just positive thinking alone, that generally only gives people maybe a 10% boost in their life. You know, it's strategy that counts. So it would start off with definitely getting rid of the negative beliefs. But the way to do that is to just overwrite it with a positive one. Like you write a new belief over top. Otherwise, if you just try to block negative beliefs and you don't have something to replace it with, it just comes back. So that's the first thing. But then secondly, it's strategy. Like I might read, I'm the kind of person who finds it easy to make money for 90 days. But then what happens is by doing that affirmation and brainwashing that into myself, I suddenly have an interest in reading books to do with money that I didn't have before. But thanks to that affirmation, then I might read a book on, like I read a book about cash flow stuff, and there was a formula in there: leads times conversions times average dollars per sale times average number of sales per customer is how much wealth that you're going to generate as a business. This is for any business in the world, online, offline, whatever. So one of my affirmations at one point was just involved that equation. I just kept on saying it to myself every day for 90 days, burned it into my head that that's how money's made, not wages times dollars per hour. So I wanted my brain to think that way because that's how all the wealthy people were thinking. So it's strategy, right? It's not just about positive thinking when you start to do that, you know, thinking about leveraging your time and stuff like that. I'm the kind of person who always leverages my time well. I would read a book on time management, make sure I know how to leverage my time, but then that one simple affirmation, burn that into your brain. Next thing you know, you're putting into place everything that you've learned in that book about time management. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So, but it also prompts the question, given that you said that you had a successful business by 20, did you attend university or not?
Yeah, I went to university and I started off doing I started off doing a degree in, I can't remember now, computer science. And then 6 months later, I changed it to economics. Then I changed it to something else, physics. And then I ended up graduating with a degree in psychology 5 years later. It's a 3-year degree, but I kept changing majors and stuff like that. But I was running a successful business on the side where I had students just turning up at my house, working 10 hours a week each, earning about $15 an hour each, you know, and university was great. I ended up making a lot of friends there and stuff like that. And yeah, I didn't really use my degree, to be perfectly honest. It was more just that at that age in my life, it was good to be at university, making friends and doing all that sort of stuff, I guess. And I didn't know that the internet was going to turn into this, my lifelong business at that point. It wasn't until I was about 24, I finished my degree, and then I suddenly thought, oh, screw it, I'm just going to just do this full time. You know, I'm already making more than what most people earn in a regular day job anyway. Why not just this? I don't think the internet's going away now, is what I thought at that point.
Right. So what was the nature of that business?
Started out just being an affiliate. I was earning money in commissions promoting other people's products. So my friend Charlie, he set up a website where, like back then, most people didn't even have a website. So he was just trying to figure out, how do I put a website online? He went to a free hosting site and put up a website using their website builder. He called it something like the Melissa Joan Hart website or something like that. It was like a fan site. She's Sabrina the Teenage Witch back in the day. And he just put up a biography, a filmography, grabbed a few pictures from the internet, chucked them up, and then he submitted it to the search engines. And he started getting all these visitors. So then he put up a banner ad on the page that linked to an online dating site. And he just wrote in the banner, "Want a girlfriend like Melissa Joan Hart? Click here." And next thing he knew, he was getting a paycheck in the mail for about $50 almost every single week. And that, at that point in time, was over 100 New Zealand dollars because the exchange rate was extra strong for us at that point in time. And I was having to work about 12 to 15 hours a week at Pizza Hut to earn that much money. And he just did it in an afternoon and never had to touch his website again. And it was just constantly paying him. So I said, "Do you mind if I do something like that?" And I set up a celebrity site too, but I put 100 celebrities on it. And I was ranking for so many of them in the search engines. This is before Google. This is way back in the day. And I got myself earning thousands of dollars a week within about 6 months. And to cut a long story really short, I went from there to discovering more profitable niches and stuff like dog training and language learning and personal development and health and all sorts. And over the years, I made my own products as well. And yeah, I mean, that was the start though, when I learned that people go online, people buy stuff, and you can earn commissions promoting other people's products.
Now, in those days, you're talking about the days before Google. So you're talking about like maybe Yahoo was the search engine.
Yahoo was
use?
The biggest at that point. But then places like Excite, LookSmart, like back then were AltaVista. I mean, they were getting crap.
Yeah, I vaguely remember these. That's right. So
yeah.
But the difference then, doing this so long ago, the strategy for doing it would have to be different because now the sheer number of websites is so much bigger. If I just tried to do what you did, I wouldn't rank in the search engines or I'd be so low no one would ever see me.
Yeah, things changed over time. It became easier to buy traffic than it is to just get the free traffic. Because now you want to get a high search engine ranking. There's no such thing really as free traffic because you have to write an article that's 2,000 words now and then you have to get other articles written and link to that article and get them build up authority in your page and so forth. And yes, it is possible to do that strategy, but it's actually a lot easier now to buy traffic. But that paid traffic wasn't around back then, not in the forms that it is now. And there weren't as many good affiliate programs that you could promote. It is actually easier now than it was then in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to the fact that there are more profitable offers that you can actually promote that do well. I mean, the conversion rates were horrifically bad back then. It was just lucky that there was less competition. But I mean, I would have to get 10,000 visitors sometimes per day just to make a few sales a day back then. Like, and I was getting hundreds of thousands of visitors a day. Now, hundreds of thousands of visitors a day would translate into probably tens of thousands of dollars per day. You know, it was pretty insane. Like, so there was you got more traffic, but you got really low conversions because people didn't know how to write copywriting. There weren't so many great offers. It's just different. But now there's more great offers, higher conversions, the ability
to buy.
Just
so everybody
traffic.
Knows, because not all my audience would knows the term conversions. You mean people go to the site and buy something or they opt
whatever. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, like back then it was quite reasonable to have 1,000 people visit your site and make one sale. Now you would expect to have 2 sales for every 100 visitors, say. And that's good, you know, because you might spend, say, $25 on, say, getting 100 visitors or $50, say, and you might make $100 back. So that's how people get really wealthy as affiliates these days. I'm spending several thousand dollars a day and I'm making, you know, 8,000 some days, 10,000 some days back in affiliate commissions. You know, so it's worth it. You don't have to scale up that high. There are people that are spending $100 a day and they're making $300 a day back or $200 a day back. But that's the model now. It's just about learning how to find the right offer, how to get it all set up right, and then you test different audiences and you find out what works and what doesn't. If it doesn't work, you spent $50, it didn't work, you shut that audience off. You spend $50 on another audience, it's made you say $50 to $100 back. You keep spending a little bit more money and see what's the true ratio there. And after you spent $500, you'll notice, oh, I've made $1,000 back. I'm going to keep that one running. You know, and then you try another audience and another one. And until eventually you've got so many audiences running that are profitable that you've got a really good little system going.
Okay, first of all, I love this. I could talk about this stuff all day. I love hearing about how you do things completely differently from how I do them because I'm doing them the really kind of old-fashioned way in that I'm very, well, the really old-fashioned way is what you described, where it's the early days of the internet. You can put a site up, get ranked quickly. You get organic traffic through the search engines, and you don't have to build up an audience per se because the people come to you through the search engines.
I still do that with my aged sites. So I've got some older sites that are ranking everywhere.
Oh, sure. I bet they would. Yeah. And I bet Affilorama must rank for affiliate marketing training.
Well, yeah, especially my Sale Who website, which is all to do with wholesale sourcing and supplying. And that's like everywhere on the internet and makes loads of sales. However, it's not the kind of thing that as a newbie, someone would just jump into and do really well. Like when I get a student making $1,000 a day and they've only been going for 6 months, they're buying traffic. You know, they're not someone that's just got that organically. That's, you know, organic traffic. It can be done, but it's a lot more time involved.
Well, let me just give you an overview of how I do things and then an experiment I've been running because I do buy some traffic. What I mainly do is I mainly get free traffic. That is to say, and when we say free traffic, I mean, I don't spend any physical dollars, but it's not free in the sense that no effort goes into it. I mean, when you have a podcast with over 1,700 episodes, that generates some traffic for you, but that ain't free. I mean, 1,700
episodes. And you built that up. And that's the thing. I often encourage people to do that on the side, but that's your patience approach. You want to get to quit your day job a bit faster. You probably will have to be able to buy traffic.
Exactly. So you don't follow the Woods strategy if your goal is to see results 6 months from now. But I'm glad I followed it because it really does work over time because I've built up a mailing list and I have a big social media following and all that. Absolutely. And all those things help me to sell the things I have to sell and promote things that I promote as an affiliate and all that. But I was starting to wonder, especially right now, these days, you know, obviously no one could have predicted what the year 2020 was going to be like. Nobody could have predicted that various circumstances have made it hard for some businesses to operate or stay open or be open at full capacity, not be shut down for extended periods of time. And you would have to be out of your mind if you're not at least somewhat curious about what would it look like for me on the side to build, frankly, an unshutdownable business as a kind of insurance policy for the future. And the thing is, you know, people listen to me, they trust me, they know what my business model is, they know the products that I sell, you know, homeschool materials and things like that. But I get some skepticism because people think, well, of course you can make a go of this because you have this big audience and a mailing list and whatever, and it would take me forever to accumulate that. So I started to get curious recently. I wanted to know, suppose I started from scratch. I didn't have any of those things. I didn't have any name recognition like I have now. I was just a guy, you know, with some competence who was ready to learn and who wanted to build something online that could generate some income at some point in time. So I started. Now, it's still a work in progress, but I put up, I built up a Facebook page. Now, I know some of my people hate Facebook because they don't like Mark Zuckerberg. My philosophy on that is if Mark Zuckerberg wants to help me get rich, I'm going to let him. I'm not going to stand in his way. But I built up a Facebook page. I built up an audience for it in a niche, I'm not even going to say, in a niche that is not my normal niche, because I want to see, can I build this from scratch with no name recognition? And so what did I do? I followed some of Mark Ling's advice about how you build the page and how you get people to like it and how you run ads on it. And so far I'm having some, I mean, I've got like 1,300 likes on this page for almost no money, just doing what you said. So these things can be done. You don't have to do 1,700 podcast episodes.
How long did it take you to make the page?
Oh, like no time at all. I mean, literally minutes, but no time at all.
Yeah, I just want people to know that it's not like these things. Once, if you don't know about it, you might look and go, oh, that's going to take hours. You don't realize 20 minutes, an hour tops. You know, you can actually have a Facebook page up, spend $10, you can end up with $10 or $20, 1,000 people could already like your page. You can get things underway and rolling and ready to go. It's incredible. And there's a lot of money being made as well thereafter. So, you know.
Yeah, now here's the question I want to ask you, though, because, all right, this is what you would do if you did not have an existing audience. You'd build a page on some niche.
I do it all then, the time, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure. And I mean, you really are the guy on this. And you want some people to like it. You want to have a few posts on it. But mainly, for me, the primary purpose of the page is to have a base from which I can create ads. And the ads are going to be promoting products that that are affiliate products I earn commissions on. And I just experiment with different audiences. And I see which audiences respond to this particular product the best. And then I really hammer home at those audiences. But my question to you is, you know, for some people, that sounds a little hit or miss. Like, what if I spend a fortune testing an ad and no audience pays off and all I have is a big bill for Facebook ads?
That's something that actually, it's hard to get around, to be perfectly honest, in a lot of ways. The key is that you've got somebody who's already successful that you're learning from, for a starter. And secondly, sometimes, and I find it like hard to predict 100%, like I'm just being completely upfront here. Like, let's say I'm testing six audiences. I normally start testing about six audiences. Most other people that are students of mine will start testing one audience at a time, say. So I might spend, say, $25 a day on each audience. So that's $150 a day. That's me because I've got enough money. Other people will start spending $10 a day and they might test two audiences that are $5 a day for each audience. So they'll spend $10 a day. It's the same thing. They'll just take a little longer. If any audience spends $50 without making a sale, I turn it off, right? And I'm just looking to see ones that make sales. And if they make a sale, I'll just run a bit more money until I wait and see, am I able to make sales at a rate that is making me double my money? Now, sometimes I'll spend $300 to $500 before I've got enough profitable audiences. The most I've had to spend ever, and this is when I was less familiar with profitable audiences and so forth, before I broke even, and I was still making sales before then, the most I've ever spent is $3,000 before I made $3,000 back, and then it went into profit. But, you know, so that's like your nightmare scenario. But at that point, spending $3,000, I'd also made $3,000. So don't forget, you're still making sales. But there is that possibility that sometimes, yeah, you might spend $500 and notice, oh, crap, I've only made $150 back at the early stage. But you'll also know, but I've got three ads that are now working for me. I can turn off the other seven or whatever that I've tested. I'll just leave these ones running for a little while until I've built my money back up, and then I might start testing some new ones. So, and it pays itself disproportionately to what you lost. So let's say you spent $1,000 and you lost $700 while you found, say, three or four, five profitable audiences. By the time you only invest in those profitable audiences and spend another $1,000, you've disproportionately paid yourself back. You know, you might, and by the time you're spending, say, $300 a day and making $600 a day back, so let's say that's $2,000 a week now in profit, you know, you look back and go, well, the fact that I lost a few hundred dollars, maybe a thousand tops while I was learning at the start, that was just the price of my education and in uncovering the profitable audiences. Some people might look and go, what's an audience? Well, on Facebook, an audience is a group of people interested in a topic. They've got millions of audiences. For instance, a profitable audience for me might be women aged 25 plus who like Elle magazine, or who like Cosmopolitan magazine, or who like Oprah magazine. You know, that's an example. Or it might be people who like the movie The Notebook. That's an audience. That's an audience of like 3 million people. You know, these are all audiences, and there's so many out there and so many worth testing out on certain affiliate offers. The key is that the product types that you choose have broad appeal. So they're the kind of products that will be appealing to a large percentage of people, and that's key. So there's several different types of those kind of products, whether they be health products, products that help people in their relationships, products that help people make more money. A lot of these kinds of products work very, very well, and they work for so many audiences that you wouldn't have even predicted would have worked, but they do. Like I've got a product that I promote that's to do with women's hormones health. It's an info product ebook, and you know, we'll promote that, say, to women aged 25 plus who are into yoga, and make double our money back on that audience, just as an example.
Right. I mean, I think people maybe not realize just how specifically you can specify the audience. I mean, you can actually make it that narrow. You can even specify they have to be interested in yoga. I mean, a lot of people know that I sometimes use Facebook. I use Google AdWords also for a product that does very well for me all the time. So that's some paid traffic I use. But I also use Facebook. And it's nice because I'm promoting a homeschool curriculum that I helped to create. And it is the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. And so I can come up with an audience that's interested in homeschooling. And I can actually make sure they have kids. I can make sure that in the demographics. And then I can also make sure they're interested in Ron Paul. And I can find a couple of other things that would indicate that they like Ron Paul and his ideas. So that is the natural audience that if our ancestors in marketing 50 years ago would have given their right arm to be able to pinpoint their audience like that. You know, instead of just generically putting an ad in People magazine, they can find the exact people who are naturally going to respond to that. It's a miracle.
Absolutely. But you can target people that like People magazines. So you don't have to put an ad in People magazine. You advertise
I didn't even
Facebook.
Think of that.
You know, get it cheaper. Just pay $50. You can't go buy an ad in People magazine for $50, but you can test it out on Facebook, people that like People magazine. and see how it goes. I tend to generally like to leave the audience reasonably open, like it might be women aged 25 plus who like People magazine. I don't necessarily want to tick, even though I might find that it's mostly women aged 45 plus who are buying this particular offer. Facebook figures it out, but they charge you a lot less if you leave it a little bit more open. So they'll start to notice, oh, the only people buying are age 45 plus. We'll only show those people. But the fact that you opened it up to everybody means that they'll charge you half the price that they would have charged you if you'd been more specific, like 45 plus, must have a credit card, must have this and that. You know,
wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Too specific. Yeah. So Facebook's actually very, very smart at figuring out all of the stuff. Like the more sales you make, the better it gets, because you've got a thing called a pixel and it starts to notice the type of person that's buying, and it starts to figure out with every new audience you put up, it starts to look for the type of person that is in that audience that is similar to the people from the other audiences that have made a purchase. So it gets better as it goes.
Yeah. Now, you know, look, I'll just say this. As I said, having competed against you in contests before, I got to the point once where I joked with a product creator before he launched his product. I said, I hope Mark Ling is on vacation that week or something. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he's got something else to do. We had never turned in. That strategy of hoping you wouldn't be around never worked. But just to watch how effective you were at doing it every single time, no matter how hard I tried, no matter what tactics I, you know, I couldn't come anywhere near where you were. So I thought, well, doggone it, if you can't beat him, join him. So I thought, you know, we're all stuck in our houses, a lot of us around the world, or at least we're not able to do as many things as we might like to do. And that is leading to a natural curiosity about the future of work and what should I do, you know, that what makes sense for me to do in light of these unprecedented times that for all we know could return in the future. And yeah, I thought, well, maybe Mark Ling's the guy.
I'll tell you a couple of quick things. One is that several of our students are doing better than me. So it's not just me, it's the students that we have. Like, some of them are doing in the tens of thousands a day, you know, and I'm looking going, damn it, I've got to up my game. You know, I'm doing in the mid thousands per day. You know, I'm doing anywhere profit wise, not counting overall revenue, but let's say profit wise, anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000 a day. And then there's some that are just every day, $20,000. And I'm thinking, damn it, like, I taught you. I know exactly what you're doing. I've got to just, get in the trenches more and do it even more. You know, that's the top end. That's not the expected amount, by the way, but we've definitely got dozens that are in the 1,000 a day category, which is fantastic. And it shows that if people starting from scratch who'd never made a dime before online last year are now making that much now, you know, it can be done. What's another piece of crazy info is we went to ClickBank and asked them to look at all of our customers that have purchased our training in the last two launches that we've ran. We ran one launch a year the last 2 years, and tell us, like, because we gave them their affiliate IDs, because ClickBank are the ones that pay the commissions out. And I just wanted to know, how much money have our students actually made in total? And they broke it down, gave us a big breakdown of how much each ID had made and all this. And the total was $57 million.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought they were going to say $8 million.
And by the way, again, I think some of my folks may not know ClickBank, but ClickBank is the major affiliate marketplace. I mean, whether it's gardening or relationships or parenting or whatever, they've got products available that you can promote as an affiliate. So they are the number one place.
And they're not even the only one as well. We teach people to use other ones as well, physical products at GiddyUp and other places. And so if 57 million was just from one network, I don't know how much the complete total would be across all networks. But, you know, it shows this stuff works and brand new people to this are doing very well. Now, just getting back to uncertain times and stuff like that. Every time there's been uncertainty go on, I was online marketing during 9/11. I was online marketing during the, 2009 economic crisis or whatever. I'm online marketing now. Every single time, online sales have gone up during that period. So online sales have been good at other times and they go up during a crisis. That's interesting. You know, it is very interesting because it feels like it's just, how do I say it, very safe, because I'm not so worried about uncertain economic times. So at the very least, most people should want to have a side income online just in case anything ever happens. You know, some people just do this as a way to pay the mortgage off rather than thinking, oh, I want this full time, you know, and that's quite important. And the other thing that I think is really important people should realize is that wealth is never created or destroyed. So people panic when there's a economic crisis on, but no one's going to, half the people, everyone in the world isn't suddenly going to lose all their money. That doesn't happen. Yes, you may get a country getting hyperinflation or something, but still, as a globe, money is not created or destroyed. It just changes hands. You just got to make sure you're on the right side of where that wealth is. And well, that's where, at the moment, online marketers during these any kind of troubled times tend to be the ones on the right side of things making more.
This is the first crisis in which I've been in online marketing. I really wasn't in it in 2008 and 9, or certainly not during 9/11. So this is the first one that I've been able to test. And I can attest that at this, I almost feel guilty. I'm doing better than ever. I almost feel guilty. So I've been doing a lot of charitable giving to assuage my guilt of how is this possible. So what we're going to do is you're going to take some time with my folks who are interested in this and walk through kind of what we've been describing, exactly what is the approach that you use in, you know, and the thing is, I know who Mark Ling is because, you know, I'm in marketing and other people know who Mark Ling is, but the average consumer doesn't know who Mark Ling is. So you are in effect unknown to the consumers. And yet without that name recognition, you still are doing all this. So you don't have a big audience of the whole world says, oh, Mark Ling has a new product.
Absolutely.
Or Mark Ling is promoting something as an affiliate.
Most of my sales are of products that you won't have heard of and you won't realize that I'm earning commissions from them.
Right, right. So how you do that, the exact steps that you're using is what you will be talking
I'll
about.
I'll be sharing you the exact 5 steps that 27 of our beginning students from the past year have been using to make, with this group of students, up to $6,742 per day in profits.
I know, and look, let me just say, I know that sounds like that can't possibly be. I believe me, I know it sounds like that can't possibly be. But I know a lot of these people. I've been one of these people. I know what's possible. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be that successful, obviously, but I'm talking right now to a person who, over the course of 15 days promoting a product, earned $120,000 just in prizes for being the top seller. And Mark, I'm not going to ask you because it's none of my business, but the commissions you earned, I would guess, would be in the area of $500,000. This was all in the course of 15 blankety blank days. Okay. This can happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen to you, but it absolutely happens. That's why I'm in it, because it works. So anyway, we're going to do that on, for heaven's sake, September 9th.
At the very least, what's the harm in spending a little, you know, spending an afternoon, getting a Facebook page set up, setting up an affiliate account, and running, say, $50 of ads just to try it out? What's the harm in that, you know?
Right.
When you think about it, let's say 1 in 3, I think it's something like that, 1 in 3 people in the United States are actively trying to lose weight in some way, right? So let's say you go promote a product with a little ad and you're promoting, say, a weight loss supplement that pays you 75% commissions. So they pay you 75% of that order total per sale. And you're getting these clicks for, say, I don't know, 20 cents a click. It's not unreasonable to expect that, let's say, 1 in 100 people buys the product. So it's costing you $20 a sale. And if the average dollars per sale made in commissions is $100, then you're making 4 to 5 times your money back. If you've got low conversions and it's taking 1 in every 300 people that sees the offer buys, only 1 in 300, you're still making double your money back. That's why so many people are succeeding with this stuff, because they're high demand products that pay massive commissions. 75% to 90% is the commission rate. The reason why the commissions are so high is because these companies realize that sooner or later someone will buy from them again. They're looking for lifelong customers. So they'll pay you basically all their profits upfront for the upfront sale. They make money if the person comes back again. That's where they make
right.
their money.
And let me jump in just to point out that it is also in Marketing 101 that the most likely person to buy from you is somebody who's bought from you in the past. And so it's much harder to go out and into a group of a cold audience that knows nothing about you and convince them to buy. It's much easier to go to your existing customers. So if you're going to be able to bring customers to somebody, they would be willing to pay you a premium for that because they'll take it from there. That's the thinking behind it. Not to mention some of the products are digital products, so they don't cost anything in the sense of the materials that go into them. So it is also easy to offer high commissions for that.
But the other thing is that you can, with Facebook, you can still retarget those that bought from you. So they bought one supplement from you. Maybe 2 weeks later, you're going to run an ad to that same person that bought this supplement over here, and you're going to promote another supplement to them over there, and you'll get a higher conversion rate because you know they're already the kind of person that buys supplements. And the average person that buys supplements actually buys about 5 or 6 packets of supplements a month. They don't just buy one. So, you know, you can still get some of that repeat customer as well, not just for the person whose affiliate product you're promoting.
Well, let's
just supplements. That's not the only type of offer. I'm just like mentioning that as an example. Obviously, there's books. There's, you know, I've got this new couple of offers I'm promoting, like this foot insoles. You know, so you put these special type of foot insoles that you put inside your shoes that help with foot pain. You know, and that sells well. There's all sorts of offers and that are available to people. Some people sell insurance, other things. It's crazy, actually, just how many good offers there are that pay very high commissions.
Well, as you can all tell, Mark knows everything there is to know about this. So we're going to do a little demonstration where he's going to walk you through it. And you'll have an opportunity at the end to work with him if you want. But even if you don't take that, you're going to walk away saying, well, I could give this a shot. So we're going to do that September 9th. It's tomwoods.com/Mark. To sign up, and you're not going to say, boy, this was not a good use of my time. You're going to say, oh my gosh, how did I not know people were doing this? Well, answer, because you'd never heard of Mark Ling before. So tomwoods.com/Mark is how to sign up for that. It is going to be fantastic, as everything Mark does is. And by the way, there's a Labor Day, because Labor Day, I don't know if you know that in the US, we have something called Labor Day in early September. The Rocket Languages Labor Day sale is going on, and I'm going to be promoting that, as a matter of fact, a couple of days before this thing. But just to show that what he's saying really works, I'm doing that very thing. So, Mark, I appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to our event together online for everybody.
Thanks. I really appreciate being here. Thanks for everybody's time.
All right, everybody, definitely sign up at tomwoods.com/Mark. You're going to learn some valuable stuff during that session. Tomorrow on the program, we're talking about a topic I never thought I would discuss on the Tom Woods Show, because I'm such a homebody and the idea of not living in the United States just never occurred to me. I had people asking me for years, where would you go if you wanted to leave the United States? And I've just said, look, I'm going down with the ship. I can't imagine living anywhere else. But gee, with everything that's going on, it's hard not to at least think about it. So I have two immigration lawyers joining me tomorrow who are going to talk about the process and things people need to know if they are considering trying to get citizenship somewhere else or things like that, what their options are, what the steps to take are. We're going to be hashing that all out tomorrow here on the program. So make sure you have subscribed to The Tom Woods Show over at tomwoods.com/Apple, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of The Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.